Blog Talk Radio.
This is the title track of my CD called Gone Are the Days, song about awakening in this time and to the present struggles of the world and what we have to do to overcome all these things. So many paths, only one road you choose is for yourself. You know you live in your eyes, let true love rule. We are made with godly attributes. Well, things gonna be right when it's right that you choose. Yes, you gotta live on now. Yes, you gotta live on now. Oh, yeah. You want to believe on God, baby. So I need to stop, but you want to believe on God, baby. That I used to wonder.
Joseph Israel, universal musician. That's what I decided. I think it's too limiting just to put your
genre of a reggae musician. I think you're a universal musician who specializes in reggae. And we also got Dennis Ryan, a student and a teacher of Rabbi Dr. Moshe Ben Maimon, Maimonides, from his seminal work, Marnevuchim, the Doctor of Perplexed. And I just want to read a little bit more from the promo that I typed in for today's show, Blessed Souls, Blessed, and there's a friend that I'm looking out there. Blessed our Creator, Blessed Souls, all possess my energy. You can see Genesis 1:27 about this matter. We hope to continue in part two of Healing of America via the faculty of speech. The politicians, the media gurus, and intellectual think tanks continue more or less to stew on what speech may and may not be contributing to the generally negative cultural atmosphere in this country presently. From one perspective, there should be freedom of speech. However, are boundaries necessary to be imposed via society, imposing restrictions on what one can say and what not should say? Not only Big Brother, but now Blessed Souls, there's a new term out on the street. It's called Little Brother. Who is Little Brother? Ordinary citizens walking around with cell phones, iPods, and pocket video devices, which should and has put many people on the fence of what they say in public with the knowledge that what they can say in a matter of minutes be broadcast all over the internet. So today's class, the 54th class of Soul class, is going to focus on commandments which are intellectually feasible, which accepted by all human beings, may turn the tide of the public debate of what is acceptable and unacceptable speech into a more detailed study of, as I mentioned before, 31 Torah biblical-based commandments, 17 negative, 14 positive. Of course, we began with Joseph Israel's Gone Are the Days, which the clip I took off www.jonestv.org. I think it was about 33 minutes plus of Joseph's performance on that show. This is several years ago, so I invite everyone else at the end of the show. We're going to play a cut from a very interesting artist, Levi Living in the Land of Israel, the elder lady who was putting together a consortium of musicians to try to recreate music, which, in a way of conjecture, not because we're living in the prophetic teachings of the prophets to tell us what the exact music sounded like in the temple, but this song that we played will be called I Will Cut Down Forces of Evil with Songs of Praise. You can get Joseph Israel on YouTube and Facebook and MySpace and L.Dot Hanedy, L-D-A-D-L-E-D-Y. You can learn more about his music on YouTube. Gentlemen, good morning. Joseph, how is it out in California? Probably a little warmer than Brooklyn.
It's been really good. We've had a beautiful week of weather. You know, it's been, you know, upper 60s every day and, you know, in the 40s, high 40s at night, you know, so we got really, really beautiful. Everything's green. My lettuce is growing, you know. We're getting ready for, you know, you can feel spring coming around the bend already out here. So it's beautiful climate right here where I live. It's very, you know, it's kind of very stable. It doesn't swing too much. It doesn't really freeze. And it doesn't get too hot either, so it's really nice, real comfortable. And we've been having some...
Dennis, my fellow New Yorker. My fellow New Yorker, how's the weather out by you, man?
Wonderful snow. It never seems to go away, but it's a beautiful white covering on everything. And our temperature's just around freezing, so... But it's a clear blue sky and a lot of days and a bright sunny day, so I guess you got to look at the positive side of things, no?
True.
That's right. And speaking of the positive side of things, gentlemen, we have a third co-host. We have son of Noah, Torah scholar, activist, and consultant, Ron Williams. Ron's been nursing a bit of a cold this week. Ron, how are you feeling this morning?
Baruch Hashem, thank you so much for having me. I feel a lot better. Good morning to everyone on the show and even those listening into the show. Good morning.
Joseph Israel and Dennis Ryan on the show. Thank you for joining, and Shem should bless you to get stronger, and all of us should get stronger in all our efforts to make this a better world to live in. Gentlemen, before we get into the meat of the program, I want to start off again with a prophecy.
Hold on, Don. Is there a little delay in your voice or something? It's only your voice. Do you guys hear that? Or is it just my phone?
No, it's not your phone. It's Don's equipment, I guess.
Okay, Don, check your equipment because there's a little delay in your voice or something.
It's a wobble in his voice.
Uh-huh. Right.
So What I will try to do is be a little bit respectful of when you gentlemen speak, and if you hear a gap, then you know, just I'm speaking. Just I that matter is out of my control from the switchboard that I'm working with. So hopefully we'll deal with it. We'll work with it. And we'll learn from this experience. Maybe after the show, I'll have a contact with people from Block Talk Radio what happened, and we can fix the problem before the next show.
True. Okay.
Anyway, I'd like to start with, we talked about this in the previous show, based on a prophecy in Isaiah 57:19. I hope this is hopefully the spirit that the show is going to be going, where the Most High speaks out to Isaiah, and he says, just pull it out here, please be with me, that the Most High tells him that, let me just get to the verse here, yes, that the Most High tells Isaiah the prophet of redemption, 57:19, I create the speech of lips, peace, for the far and near, says the Most High, and I will heal him. For the wicked will be driven, be like the driven sea that cannot rest, and his word destroys mire and mud. And help me, said my creator, for the wicked. And in chapter 58, verse 1, Isaiah cried out to my people, cry out, verse 2, do not restrain yourself. Raise your voice like a shofar, proclaim to my people their willful sins, to the house of Jacob their transgressions. They pretend to seek me every day and desire to know my ways, like a nation acts righteously and not forsake the justice of the Creator, their Creator. They inquire me about the laws of justice, and if they desire the nearness of the Most High, asking, why did we sigh and did not see? Why did we afflict our souls and we did not know? So here we see that again, there is consolation, there is rebuke, but at the end of the day, because, again, we're not going to bring the verses here. Yeshayahu, Isaiah the prophet, does offer hope for the nation of Israel, and for that matter, all the nations of the world. But, you know, I'd like to go back to the beginning of this prophecy, and please chime in, starting with Josephine at the top of my quote screen. This idea of speech being connected with peace and healing. So what do you think about Joseph? Why are people not aware enough about the aspects of healing and peace to the faculty of speech?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things that we've degenerated a long time, you know, over 6,000, basically 6,000 years from our great, you know, great first man, Adam, and first woman, Chava. You know, we've actually degenerated as genetically, mentally, spiritually, and all these levels, but we do, you know, we're going to be regenerated. And the one thing is going to, a lot of it is in our speech and in our meditation, because there's a scripture in, I think, Matthew that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when someone is speaking, it's actually revealing something within, deep within, their motivation. And so, you know, people that tend to slander their neighbor and all those type of things, I mean, this is the Torah says, do not do these things. The Torah says, you shall not hate your countryman in your heart. And if there's a stranger living among you, you shall treat him as one of your own. So really, you know, even for Israel, and they were never supposed to go around and exalt themselves and speak down upon somebody and have first and second class citizens. They were supposed to love everyone and treat everyone the same, in a sense. You know, not maybe everyone had a different role. Not everyone was a Levite. Not everyone was, you know, from Judah. There was different tribes and everybody has their position. But still, the love that you have for somebody, it is really expressed through your speech, you know. And so we, you know, in Jamaica, the Rastas really talk about this thing called word sound is power. And like you know, in the prayer book and in the it's in the Brit Chadashah, and it's also in the prayer book. And I'm not sure how old it goes. Maybe you could tell me, but it's like the one that says Baruch Atah Adonai Melech HaOlam, what is it, you know, Shehakol Nia Bedavaro. And so that the Most High created all things by His word, His expression. So these are deep, deep things. So if the Most High created all things by His word, Well, that means that we can, since we're creating His image, we are creating things by our words too. You know, and even though the Most High's word is a different thing than our words, you know, obviously, but just saying, there's something to what we express and with the world it creates. And I mean, just my own personal experience, whenever I lose control of my mouth, say something that I shouldn't say, I feel it defiled, personally. And it takes a certain amount of time to get that wash that away, because once you say something foolish, it exposes a corruption inside yourself. And this is the problem, you know, people, this is why the system, you know, like you said, Isaiah says, you know, that the living in the world of the wicked is like a tossing turny sea, you know, it just, no one gets rest. And people are fighting against one another, and there's other prophecies that says in the very end, everyone will turn on their neighbor and basically put them to the sword. There's many prophecies about the last days that you know, people all over the world would destroy themselves because they'll hate each other, you know, but man could actually change that if they wanted to do what's right. But we know that many will do right and most will do wrong. So that's why it's, you know, only the humble will inherit the earth. So, you know, it all comes down to our speech, though, and our conduct. And that's a deep, really, I could talk a long time. I'm going to give someone else a chance to talk, but that's a really good topic. And if we could learn to control our mouth, and then we can really control the whole body.
Just before we go on to Dan and Ron, we have a quote. Can I identify the questions?
Do what?
We have a quote calling from a airport in Hollywood. I don't know where that's coming from, but you can identify it, of course. We have participated in the conversation with the listener.
Ben, I just can't hear you. Okay. Shalom.
Shalom. It's Carl.
Good
North Carolina.
Carl.
Shalom, Joseph.
Shalom, my brother.
Welcome, Carl. Good morning from North Carolina. I'm Ron from New York, Queens, New York. And we have Dennis Ryan also on the line. I think Don is having technical problems at his end because I heard Yosef do his official loud and clear. But Don, basically your words are not even coming over across anymore.
Okay.
Your words are basically not even coming across anymore.
Right, I can't hear him.
Something is really wrong on your end. Really, really wrong, because we can't follow you, what you're saying here.
It's like you have your mouth full of peanuts or something, and you're trying to talk.
let me ask you something. Let's move on. I just have a little bit of technical difficulty, but we'll be able to know short time. Freedom of speech and healing is near the faculty of speech. Now, some people might say it's a contradiction. Can you use a perspective on how freedom of speech and healing of freedom of speech should not be a contradiction?
So what are you saying, Don? Freedom of speech?
So in America, there is a concept of freedom of speech. And along with that, there is the concept of healing via speech, which is prophetic teaching. So I'm part of Genesis, which is I'm not hearing it, that is a contradiction, or can we see, even in this culture, anywhere on the globe, freedom of speech connected to healing via speech? Okay, unless he's speaking, I can't hear him, but we'll go on to Ron. Ron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. He just referred to Dennis Ryan?
I have Dennis on the line, but just make my cat hear him.
Dennis, can you hear us?
Can
you respond?
What?
Okay.
Ron? Your turn, Mr. Ron.
I just wanted to mention that in the beginning of the Bible, the Torah, it says that, you know, everything here God spoke by the words of God's mouth, everything was created. It was mentioned 10 times. actually equivalent to the ten things that God said. So we know that by words God created the heavens and the earth and all that is within them. Like what Joseph said before, that by we know the power of the word because that's what the Creator used to create the world. And even though we do not possess that creative authority in our words, we have to be very careful because we are made in His image.
Right.
And we create, not necessarily create, but we can channel a lot of influences by the words we utter. So we have a massive responsibility of being careful every time we open our mouth. Basically, that's at the time what I wanted to say, because I'm in the middle of researching something else. So, Dan, you can continue.
Yes. Well, I want to have a little because apparently, again, I cannot. Let me just see this for a second if I can get Dennis. Dennis?
Yes.
Dennis, okay, for some reason, you were blocked. Now you're back on. So let's get your opinion before we go on. Dennis, freedom of speech and healing. Is it a contradiction that we can have freedom of speech and achieve healing through that freedom of speech, or freedom of speech mean a person can say anything they want in a reckless manner, not to just be one of the good old boys and just let everything fly out of our mouth?
Oh, you're right, Dan. We must be responsible for the words we say because they come from our mind. We would like them to come from our heart. But in a lot of cases, because we are human, it comes in our minds. Now we have three words that everybody knows, and I love you. But there's other three words equally important.
Baby. That's interesting.
And that is, I am sorry. If we don't remember to take back what we said or to tell people we made a mistake, there is no eraser for that. It isn't going to the blackboard and just saying, or when the judge says to the jury, you'll disregard what he just said. You can't undo what's in your head. So when you say something you didn't want to say, you better be ready with those three words. I am sorry. I didn't mean this. And there's nothing wrong with being sorry. It at least shows that you have some remorse and you care about what you say. But if you don't, you're always going to be on the attack. You're always going to be aggressive. You're always going to be protecting all your words, thinking that you have to do this. And that's why people keep bringing up these historical concepts that, oh, well, we have blood libel, we have this, we have that, and I'll kill you, meaning, oh, yeah, freedom of speech. Well, we mentioned that last week. You can't yell out, there's a fire in the theater while the movie's going on, because you're endangering everybody. Now, if there is a fire, fine, but if there's no fire, whoa, you've got to take on all the responsibility that's incurred from those actions.
That what goes in what comes out. That one.
Hello?
That's your language.
Hello? We heard what goes out.
So hey Don, I didn't know if you had known this about there's a book called The Secret of Water, and it's this book, and they speak words into this water, like basically they pour water, distill water, and they speak words, and sometimes they even write words on the jar of the glass, like they say love, and then they take these. Super, I think it's like Krillian photographs or whatever. They take these photographs and by speaking like love or wisdom or truth or I love you or and all these words, it forms in the water molecules, it forms these beautiful shapes. It forms like, they almost look like snowflakes. These amazing shapes appear. And when you speak words like hate and negative words, when it's positive words, it's beautiful and clear, almost translucent, but almost white too. You know, beautiful, pure. And then when it's like hate and negative words, they produce this murky,
look and they're not fully formed shapes. They're distorted, like fully distorted. And I mean, right, it's a scientific proof that water, that even like holding a bottle of water in your hand and thinking and saying negative things, it's going to affect the molecular structure of the water. Then you drink it. And then if you're thinking like how you read Tehillim, you read the Psalms, by putting these things out there, you're just charging up everything around you too. So this is why it's important to read things out loud, I think, and to chant chant out loud, because it's good to keep it inside too sometimes. But so when you can actually verbalize it, you're by saying I love you to somebody and really meaning it and looking at their eyes, this could change someone's whole day, whole year.
Uh-huh.
You know, but really, it's scientifically proven that our words fuse into like water and all types of things. And if you were to put like I love you, write it down on a piece of paper and put it in your pocket, right? And then you could do, there's these things called muscle testing, and you would be strong. But if you put, like, say you took a newspaper and stuffed it in your pocket, then they did a muscle test on you, you'd be weaker because of all the trash in that newspaper. And or if you just put a cuss word in your pocket, and this is English, and English isn't even that powerful. So if you go all the way back to Hebrew, you're dealing with some real, real deal power there, you know. And that's why, you know, both sides of the coin are trying to, you know, there's the dark, the evil side that wants to use word power. So they're putting fear in people right now through the news and, you know, and getting people to believe they're depressed or in a depression or in an economic problem. It's just a man-made created event. But they get people to believe it through their word sound, and they create a world off of it.
Like Yosef, I saw yesterday a bumper sticker. Sorry for interrupting. It said that you're not judged for your actions, but for your intentions. So when you say that this English language is not even like the Hebrew, which we know the Hebrew is infused with that, but the holiness. But the thing is, it's the intention when you say these words in whatever language you say it in. I think that intention is what is infused with it, that spiritual sparks that we have. We infuse it into those words, and that's why they're so potent.
Wow.
Understand? Because
yeah.
It's coming from our mentality, and our mind is constantly drawing from the Creator because we're connected to Him all the time. He's giving us that breath of life every second. So we're using that breath of life that He's giving us with that power from Him. And then we charge it with a negative charge, and we send it out there. I don't know, you remember in the video games back in the 80s, like, a person would, like, roll their energy into a ball of fire and then throw it out at your enemy and burn them up. And basically, we're doing that on a spiritual level when we use our spiritual potency, and we conjure a negative idea, and then we send it against someone. And basically, we do that with negative speech. And in the Talmud, it says that there are three sins that a person are denied their portion in the world to come, and it's idolatry, adultery, and murder. And it says talking evil about another person purposely is equivalent to all three of those sins. So we got to be very careful with just the simple way in which we speak. So
wow.
I wanted to throw in there. I guess, right?
That's good.
I would like to chime in and bring up a point about the divine image, because a couple of years ago I mentioned that I'm trying to do some more research and pulling out things from all over the written and oral traditions. I just want to mention that you know, in terms of what language we use in praising the Most High, it's nice to, I have a fluency in Hebrew. My Hebrew is still not at the level of Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, because there are certain traditions that we don't have. Only certain people have in every generation, like the Greek and the Greek righteous of Israel, and the Greek righteous of the children of Noah. But the fact that all of this is what speech we're using, we don't have that divine image, which I want to talk about for a moment, so it's generally to chime in on something that perhaps people don't think about enough. Yeah, this idea of said in the Torah that the Most High said, in our image and in our likeness, we are made man. There was a master of Torah by the name of the Rebbe Rishon, who showed up there, who lived from 1860 to 1920, I believe.
Hebrew.
And it's kind of about this idea of when the Most High says in Genesis, in our likeness, that we're talking about an essential design which is inherent in everything, because back then the Most High was talking about original man, or it was a declaration of the Most High to show us a blueprint of what we're really doing. And what we're really doing, according to the number of is the quality of divine knowledge. And that divine knowledge is a expression of a quality of the essence of the creator's ability to make revelations. And being at that level of the ability to make revelation is solely, so to speak, allegorical in the bosom of the creator. So we were created with true knowledge, meaning our divine image. Our divine image is testimony to true knowledge, which is only in the deepest realm. And I guess when, yes, I humbly suggest when Mashiach comes, he will give us more than that, so to speak, like you see, allegorically speaking, you see a highly sophisticated car, although we would understand the car was called a normal laws of physics and engineering, mathematics, mechanics, because it looks like it ain't like any other car. It's just a car with 4 wheels. However, it did say like 500 miles per gallon. It doesn't give out any pollutants. It actually can, you know, it will burn as a byproduct water, so empty water storage. People say, like, wow, you know, this car is coming by whoever designed this car company, they've designed a superior car. Now, they're not going to remember all of those instructions of how they made it, I mean, how hard it would, because they want to have the corner on the market. But so to speak, it's not the Most High wants to have the corner on the market by holding us back, from us from doing things, the true nature of the true instruction that we have a divine image. Rather, we should seek, let them say, so to speak, a loving father playing hide and seek with the children. He really wants to seek him. So to really seek the Most High, to really seek at who we are within the intricate and changing design which is embedded within our soul and in our bodies and our living plans is the divine image. So that is one of the ways we can do that, then, is through the faculty of speech. So I would like now to go quickly into the first prohibition, and I want to bounce up to Joseph and Dennis and Ron and our participants who are welcome to identify themselves and talk. So here we go, and everyone can write this down, because I'm going to be quoting. I don't know if we're going to have 31 commandments today, but we'll start with this. In the book of Leviticus, go to chapter 19, verse 16, where it says,
I love this.
As a tale bearer among your people. And this, by the way, this is a compendium of all the 31 commandments in speech. Was it even Rabbi Yisro Meir from about 1834, he passed away in the early 1930s. He called the Chafetz Chaim, the one who designed his life, and this is written in the book. By the way, you can get an image. It's called Guard Your Tongue by Rabbi Zelig Tishina, Zelig Tishina. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, the first time that the Zelig Tishina is the tailbearer among your people, and that give you an example, like a peddler in the open, 100 years ago, and I don't think most of us, maybe 10 years old in all of us, maybe you remember peddlers. Like, peddlers used to go around from house to house selling their wares. So to a guy, there's the person that came up from leaving behind tidbits of derogatory information about others. Just so let me ask you. Of avoiding being a tailbearer, is it something which is beyond the comprehension of people, or is it something that a commandment which is given to Israel, which all of us can take advantage of? Is it something that someone personally can apply in their own life?
Hold on, Don. Just slow your speech down a little bit so I can get the fullness of what you're saying there.
Say it again?
Just say what you were saying again in a little simpler and slower form, because there's that little wobble in your voice, so I'm just hearing, like, a third of the words that you're saying.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going back to, okay, we're going to Leviticus
19:16. Okay, 19:16.
The tailbearer among the people. Do you think it's important? Do you think people can talking, you know, putting down people? Is this something beyond the human capability when we just learned that we have a perfect design called the divine image?
It's not, you know. Some people are more prone to gossip and to be a talebearer, but, you know, one of the proverbs that I really like, and they kind of transformed it in Jamaica, where they just say, he that keeps his tongue keeps his life, you know.
That could be literally.
In Jamaica, they're serious about it, but, like, it's serious, though. I mean, it's a very, you know, when you, and if we just, you know, Yahshua, you know, my rabbi Yahshua of Nazareth, he says if your enemy is hungry, you give him food. If your enemy is thirsty, you give him water. If someone's doing you wrong, you pray for them. And blessed are you when man says all manner of evil against you. So if you're doing right. So the thing is that he teaches us that there's never a time, really, that we should say something evil towards someone, even if they're being evil, because we already know that the wicked will not stand in the council of the righteous, eventually. And there will be a purification, but we are not the judges. So it is in our possibility, and the whole thing is to refine ourselves to get control over that and to think, you know, when I think of anyone, we should be sending them blessings. And even though we know Babylon is going to fall, if the whole system of man were just to change and begin to follow the Most High and listen to his prophets and listen to the message and to abide by the Torah, the teachings, and the laws, which are to love your neighbor, and all these laws in Leviticus, which are so beautiful, this is the constitution of life. You know, it's like then there would be peace on earth. You know, so it's not beyond our ability. He even says that in the Torah, right? The words I command you today, you don't have to go up to heaven to say who will give them to us, or go out across the sea to go get them, because the word is right near you. So we can actually do these things. He didn't ask us to do something that we couldn't do. So it's a beautiful thing. And but you got to start, you know, whoever's listening, if they want to really get their mind correct. And I'm still just working on my own mind, but yeah, TV is the worst thing you could possibly ever do. I mean, and the internet is right up there too, depending on what you're doing on the internet. But these things are putting out so much negative word sound. And these soap operas and stuff, it's pure drama, pure gossip, getting people away from their divine image, you know. So, you know, it's very possible, and for everyone. You know, my wife is always telling me this, too. It's like when someone tells you something from their heart, you don't have to go tell someone else. Even if you know something, there's a time and a place to say things, and there's a time and a place to when someone gives you tells you something in confidence, you don't tell that ever again. You keep, and so that's what we got to do. You know, we have to be able to take someone else's pain and whatever they're expressing to us and not even share it with anyone else. Because so that people can trust that they have a counselor or someone that a friend that loves them and they can be open with, and is not going to go tell bear this other person's weaknesses, and so we gotta be, you know, we gotta be able to do these things, and yeah, it's possible, and so.
I'd like to go on to Dennis, sir, Joseph. Thank you for that well thought of thing. Dennis, Freedom of Speech America. Is it possible, you know, that we could? We can educate the people to stop being
tailbearers? Well, yes. And it can happen without government policing. In other words, as humans, if we start using language of hate and evil, we get responses from other humans. And everybody, the way we end up encouraging that. That's why when they mentioned soap operas and other stuff, those are problems that people have. And it's almost like we should be happy about hearing these problems. No, we shouldn't be. We should stay away from evil and hateful type of speech. because other humans pick up on this and they start doing it too. And what we end up doing is encouraging everybody. And we don't know how to stop the carousel once this begins. So here we have not only name-calling, but hatred being said, well, this is free speech called hatred. No, what happens is we have laws that say you can only go so far. In other words, you can talk to your neighbor and say, I want to kill you. But if you say that to a government official, they can put you in jail. Why? Maybe the government officials take it more seriously than your neighbor. But anyway, we're allowing for this stuff to happen all the time. So the more we use evil and hatred type of speech, we encourage other humans. And that's not good, because we are not godlike when we do that. We started off with the word of God. We've already segued to the word of humans. And we even mentioned, how does that fit in with all of nature, namely water, even for that matter. But we have to be mindful as to what our goal is. We cannot get sideswiped by words when we should be thinking about God.
That's right.
Thank you, John.
I just wanted to chime in there when Joseph was indicating how we should be when a person speaks good, when a person comes to us with their problems, how we should not repeat it. But there's also another side of it, is praising someone excessively in front of people who don't really care for them. It's a very, a reverse type of way of getting hatred from someone else besides yourself. It's like placing a stumbling block in front of the blind. Because, for instance, someone who doesn't favor a person well, and what you do is you praise them excessively in front of that person starts to conjure even more negativity against them. So we really have to be careful in what we speak. Even if we go around speaking good, sometimes too much praise of another person conjures a negative feeling in others about them. So we have to be very careful in terms of even the good we say about another. Sometimes it can be too much that it starts to stimulate the jealousy, and that jealousy brings all that negativity with it. So I just wanted to add that to, what Joseph was saying before. And I wanted to say also that King David, in the Psalms 34, verse 14, it said, guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Understand? So even King David always said he was a victim of constant evil talk. Because we know that, he was slandered towards King Saul, and King Saul went after him. An entire city of priests were wiped out because of evil talk against David to King Saul. And everyone knew King Saul was pursuing David. And whatever they say would just infuriate it more. So,
where was that scripture?
It's in Psalms 34, verse 14.
Okay, I see it.
Went out specifically, and he says you should guard your tongue from evil.
Okay. I want to add some sort of spice to one of the gentleman's comments that, there are places we do see in Psalms. The King David was also known as the Sweet Son of Israel, in his compositions, and actually used to play the harp. He was a musician. That he did, in fact, curse the wicked. He did, in fact, ask Hashem's judgment on the wicked. But as a preventive measure, you don't see him citing names. I don't think, I recall correctly, many gentlemen can correct me, if you look through chapters 1 through 150, King David is cursing the wicked or asking the multiple to judge them, but he's not naming names, meaning he's really addressing the root of the matter and trying to give a warning as a prophet, divinely inspired musician and poet and king of Israel, that we are here to chant down wickedness in order that the wicked leave their wickedness. In fact, there's a story, there was a very famous rabbi named Rabbi Meir, who's known as Rabbi Balanes because he was known to affect many miracles in his lifetime, that he had a very Christian wife, wise wife by the name of Gloria, which is an expression of clarity, of purity, purifying force. And Rabbi Meir and his wife Gloria had very beautiful neighbors that really didn't even bother him. And one day, he actually cursed them that they should die. And his wife said, no. King David intended on cursing the wickedness of the sinners, but not that they should die, but their wickedness should die within them. And there should be a sublimation, hopefully a transformation of the energy of the wickedness of a wicked person. So once you guide a person, warning them, stern warnings, that they should go away from their wickedness, they'll have nothing left to do. If the words from your heart, as Ron mentioned, I think, last week, if the words from our heart penetrate the hearts of those we would consider to be, according to their actions, because, you know, we observe more wickedness by actions, and also to a great extent from speech, and even less from their thoughts, because people don't really reveal all of their thoughts, they only just get a tenth of their thought comes to speech. So basically, David was basically giving a warning, guys, there's implications to going in a negative way, and basically, you know, some testimony on, you know, don't mess up this perfect design you've been given as a worthy being human of your divine presence, your divine image. I just want to tell them one more thing before the next the commandment, gentlemen, that Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov, the patriarch of the modern Hasidic movement, once said, a person involved in serving the Most High should not be concerned if one is cursed or blessed, because whether one is cursed or blessed by other people, one still has a job to get done, to be an emissary of the Most High upon this planet Earth. That being said, I want to go on to the next commandment, which is the second negative commandment listed by the Chafetz Chaim, which says, you shall not utter a false report. And the scriptural source for this is in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1. Now, also, this is again involving a lot of thinking. And just let me ask you, let me start off with you. Why do people think that they can let anything fly out of their mouth to the point where they utter a false report as opposed to maybe thinking twice before they speak?
Me?
Yes, Joseph.
So why do people not think twice? What'd you say? Say it one more time.
Why do people not think twice? Maybe sometimes three times. I'll say it myself. Sometimes I should have thought four times before I said something maybe that I shouldn't have said. So why are people struggling with this prohibition from the Torah of uttering a false report? As opposed to if they don't utter a false report, they might find that they're getting more connected to their true selves.
Well, I think people are kind of not that deep, you know, surface. A lot of people just say everything stays on the surface and doesn't go too deep inside them. It's like soil that never was tilled properly or never had any, you know, it just had sun beating down on it and no water. It just turned hard. Everyone's hardened. And so their actual, the light bulb of their conscience, they've taken out of the socket. So they don't even have that little light sometimes doesn't even come on. Hey, maybe I shouldn't say this, because the Most High gave us a conscience to help us direct our ways. But people can also remove that conscience if they don't want to abide by it. And this is how, I mean, obviously the most of the politicians, not maybe not all of them, but most of them have done this. You know, that's why they're doing evil that we can't even imagine right now. They're planning, and then it comes out in their speech, but you know, on a level of the street people, you know, I think it's the same thing, because I mean, a lot of it you could just take it all the way back to religion. The false religions, which is basically, you know, the one I was brought up in was Christianity. So it's like, you know, there's definitely a lot of really good believing Christian people, and I send my love to them and all true people of all faiths, you know, that are striving. I think that we're all going to come together as one. So I'm not against one faith or on the side of another. I'm just on the Most High side, and He's the God of Israel. And He's the one that, this is how He's ever spoke to people. But He loves everybody. So just to say, though, in when I was a child, I was brought up and I was taught these things, but no one ever told me that I had the power inside myself, you know? No one ever it was always like you go and then you just believe, and you believe in God, and then you got to believe in Jesus, and then they teach you that Jesus is God, and they can't explain it, but you have to believe this, and then if you don't believe that, then you're going to burn forever in hell, and God's going to torment you. So then they got to get this idea that, well, God is like, you know, they're actually putting a false idea of who God is, that he's this terrible man, or not man, but terrible being that would actually, if you don't do exactly what he says, he's going to torture you in the oven forever. Well, what does that sound like? That sounds like Hitler or something. So this is why people could get so crazy. I mean, this is where they get that type of thing. That's why it even became acceptable. I mean, if God does it, why can't a man do it? So this is, these thoughts go so deep, and it's really the Satan, you know, from the beginning, who has caused man these errors. And now people go to these congregations, and they're leaving, and they're thinking that they gotta believe this way, and if they think outside of it, they're gonna go down. And so anyone that doesn't agree with their faith, they're gonna speak evil about instantly because they're afraid, you know. And so again, a lot of it comes from fear. They would rather speak evil of another man, or another thing, or another belief, than to actually try to understand and reason, because if they start to understand and reason, then they'll realize that we're all saying a very similar thing, and we can begin to work through our differences. And actually, if we want to know the truth, we can see what the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, what he says. That's all that matters, you know. And so that people are schooled. It's a teaching. Man is brainwashed. So there's some crazy sounds going on, but yeah, people are taught really not to even control themselves and to indulge in all types of corruption. So, you know, but this all goes back to religion, and all they say you have to do is believe in their religion, and you're saved. There's nothing about your righteous conduct or how you live your life, or even though the teachings are there, whether you read the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, so-called, or you just read the five books of Moses, the Torah, or you just read Isaiah. You could just read the book of Isaiah and get so much out of it, and you would learn all these beautiful things, but most people don't even study. So we got to study to get this richness.
Yes, but we must remember that
before we continue with Ron's, we go with Dennis, and now we have poet laureate Stephen Audio from Atlanta, Georgia. Stephen, shalom.
Hi, Don. I was listening online.
What's that?
I was listening online, and I decided to call in. You've got very bad reception, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties. We're kind of plowing through this show, and I also called the Blog Talk Radio people to find out what the problem was, because we didn't have these problems in previous shows. Let's go back to Dennis, and we'll go to Ron and you, Stephen, about these concepts. Dennis, freedom of speech? I mean, if I have freedom of speech, I'm not allowed anymore to utter a false report. What's going on here? Is this fascist to ask people to avoid uttering a false report and therefore not fulfilling their right of having freedom of speech? What's your take on this, Dennis?
Well, you got to remember that humans are naturally impulsive. And when you're naturally impulsive and you don't control your impulses, you're inclined to do things that are not correct or right. Committing sin, 9 times out of 10, is usually an impulsive thing. Saying bad things through your mouth is highly impulsive because you don't wait, you don't think about it, you don't analyze it before you say it. You just spout it off. So this spontaneity, which seems like it's a natural thing, has to be curtailed, or at least held in reserve to a certain extent. You cannot just say anything about anybody. That's not a friendly or a nice way to live your life. But there are some people who believe, well, if it's not against the law, I can say it. But they think the law is the government. They forget about it's God-given, the speech is God-given, the words were formed to praise God, the language was to communicate. But we also communicate to God with that same language. But people think that this is an excuse, that they don't have to worry about it. They're free. They're free to say whatever comes into their head. Well,
right. That's
not true. And if people aren't taught when they're young enough that they have to be responsible for what goes through their head, they're going to say, oh, well, There's no law against it, so I can go ahead and do it. God, there are natural laws and there are God-given laws. We just can't ignore those things.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I just wanted to add something to what we were talking here this morning about here in Book of Leviticus. We started out Leviticus 16. We never really finished it, but I just wanted to point out something. Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 16, where it says, "You shall not be a gossip monger among your people." Right after that, it says, "You shall not stand aside while your brother's, your fellow man's blood is shed. I am God." So the fact that they put it, bloodshed right after speaking evil, that connection tells you there that one thing will follow another.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we're seeing that today, that right after people speak loosely, violence can take place. We had a very close example of that recently. But most of all, also I wanted to say is that also talking bad about others, it's not only about other people, it's about yourself. And a lot of people talk negatively about their own selves. And if people talk about themselves in that fashion, we really can't expect them to speak positively about others. The way we see ourselves, a lot of times, is how we see other people. And what we see in other people is actually what is in us. Understand?
Beautiful.
And if we don't learn how to address our own negativity in a positive fashion, we will address what we see in others in a very negative fashion also.
Well, that's almost like, again, if you can't control your thoughts, you're encouraging the devil.
You guys are on fire, man. This is beautiful. What a beautiful topic, Dunn and Ron and Dennis. I love what you all are saying. Hallelujah.
Hi, Joseph, you don't forget, you're part of the fire.
Joseph, you lit the match.
Avoiding giving false reports and being a gossip. Why do you think so many people struggle with this concept, living here in freedom of speech America?
I'd like to chime in.
Yes,
sir. That's scripture. Yes, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us exactly why we're in the state that we're in with this world. And you go down to verse 17. So this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. If you continue to read, it goes into, you know, don't raise your voice to people and don't start arguments with people. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers. And do not grieve the set-apart spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you, along with all evil. And be kind towards one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim also forgave you in Messiah. And I just wanted to share that. It seems to be really pertinent to what we're talking about.
Amen.
Amen.
And look at verse 27. Verse 27, just like Dennis said, if you do think these negative things, you're giving place to the devil. And verse 20 says, neither give, be not angry, sin not, let the sun not go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who sows steal no more. Yeah, beautiful, great scripture.
I didn't hear the source again because the transition is not that clear. When was that written?
Hello?
Shaul, the apostle. Paul.
Okay, thank you, Paula. Sivan, why are people in America struggling with gossiping and uttering a false report? And it's freedom of speech, America. And if you ask me, when a person abuses their speech, I think they're really enslaved by their speech. Anyway, what's your take on this?
You're talking to me, Don?
Yes.
Okay, because it's hard to know what I can't really hear very well what you're saying. Well, I was listening, and it's a very interesting topic, I must add. As a matter of fact, I was responding on Facebook to something about anger. I think that the problem with speech is that we are quick to anger, we are quick to react, and people don't think before they say things. A lot of things that people say is not necessarily intended to bring harm upon others, but unnecessary speech causes sorrow, like the brother said earlier, because recently of what people teach and what they have been saying, as a result, other people react. Where there's evil speech, there's going to be violence. And sometimes when people speak, they intend exactly what they said to come out the way they've said it, and some people just speak because they don't think. And that is, to me, that is based on lack of wisdom. You know, if we are slow to speak and slow to be angry, we wouldn't have this problem. One of the ways to resolve this issue would be through meditation. My mother always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, you say nothing. And I think that's an old proverb that is taught all over the world. You know, we should think consciously about what we say about others before we speak, because we have to consider also that how it's interpreted by other people. And I heard one guy said, even if we praise someone too much, that can also be a form of evil, you know? Because if I praise you, Don, in the midst of your enemies, right, all I would have done is fuel the fire for them to attack you that much more.
Right.
So that's why we should think. The key word is to think. Meditate upon what we are saying or what we are about to say before we actually say it. And I think that you can't please everyone, because even if you think about it and you say something, you're going to offend somebody. I think a lot of people should practice not being offended so much also. But that's just my take on it, is to slow to anger and slow to speak.
Amen.
Beautifully said.
I want to chime in now. With the third commandment, third is a negative commandment, and this relates to actually a remembrance of an incident in the book of the book of Numbers. And but Moses repeats this to the Israelites before he goes, he ascends to heaven. That he says in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 8, it says
Deuteronomy 24, verse 8.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 24, verse 8. All right.
One second. Let me. Yeah.
Deuteronomy 24, verse 8. Concerning the place of Moses. So why did Moshe, the high Levite prophet, reminding the Israelites of the place of leprosy? So, a very old teaching from the Old Testament Israel called the Sitei explains that this verse is referring to lashon hara, evil speech, which is punishable by the affliction of leprosy. Let's just go back to that, because we learned about it in Leviticus, that what would happen was, if an Israelite was speaking ill talk of others, at first, the Most High gave them a warning. But how? The walls of one house or the walls of one tent got to show the signs of leprosy. And then a Cohen from the tribe of Levi, right, would come and inspect the house to see if, in fact, it was true leprosy or something else going on inside one dwelling. Then, if the person and the Cohen would make the decision. Now, if the person didn't relent and is speaking evil, then it would spread to one clothes. A further one, hey, it's moving in. And again, the person's clothes would have to be inspected. And they would tend to be sullied by leprosy, they would have to be purified, as well as the house in certain cases needed to be purified, in certain cases it had to be destroyed. Now the last level is when actually the plague of leprosy, which should not be confused with the modern leprosy and leprosy and function of the plague of the earth, the different components, because this was a spiritual plague which manifested itself on the walls of one's house, or the walls of one's tent, one's clothes, and finally on one's body. So that's what this commandment is referred to. Now, we today need not be concerned of the plague of leprosy because we're not at the spiritual level. However, we should know that there are warning signs that we can take heed to in our lives when our speech is going slack, as they would say on the on, how can a person, so to speak, take notice? I mean, you know, when their speech patterns are not right, they might see things occurring which are maybe instructive at all times. We should be careful. We should be more careful how we speak.
Just phrase it one more time because I want to answer it correctly. Just say it one more time.
Okay. How can one recognize in one's life? Certain things that are going on in one's life could be indicative. It could be some sort of testimony to us from above.
So how can someone recognize?
Hello?
So just say it again. How can someone recognize what?
I mean, this is a very difficult question I'm asking. I'm not saying there is an answer just for the sake of silence.
That communication.
Perhaps, because we're not going to see our way this type of kind of leprosy that wasn't in the desert or in the land of Israel. So how can a person perhaps get to recognize they're based on their speech, certain things are going on which indicate they should make a change in their speech patterns?
So basically you're asking how can someone realize that their speech is going to lead to some kind of really negative thing like leprosy before it happens? You know, is that what you're saying? Basically, well, you know.
It's a difficult question.
I think that you bring that out and that the whole thing about leprosy, you know, it's not like the leprosy in the ancient times. It's just different. Everything is different today. It's not like, you know, they didn't have these doctors and stuff. They went to the priest. And so I just think that's really amazing. They went to the Kohen, you know, I should say, and the Levites, and they, you know, they would tell them what to do. And I think the first thing to do is to realize that even if, it, like, look at that. Someone could get leprosy. Even Moses' sister, you know, got leprosy. And why? Because of the evil she spoke against Moses. But what did Moses do? Moses prayed for her. Moses loved her. He didn't ever give up on her. And she was healed, and the whole camp waited for her. You know, and so I'm just saying, it really, even when we see an uncleanliness in ourself, because we all have it, don't give up on yourself. Just like Miriam and Moshe didn't give up on his sister, you know, and she didn't give up on herself either. She had to repent. And even King David, when he did wrong, he had to acknowledge it, but he didn't give up on himself. It didn't mean that he wasn't a prophet or an anointed man, he even though he fell short. So I think it goes back to we have to really have a good a self-love, because it also says in this Leviticus chapter that we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So, I mean, that's the golden rule to life. But how can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? So. And like it says, I think it's right. It says in the Talmud, it says something like, if I'm not for myself, then who's going to be for me? But if I am only live for myself, then what kind of man am I? Right. So it's like we got to love ourselves enough to even look past our imperfections, because we know the Most High does, and forgive ourselves, and then love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and forgive them. So. Moshe loved his sister even though she thought evil thoughts to him. So never, I mean, this isn't exactly your question, but we just because someone's thinking negative towards us, if we're going to be what Mashiach is going to need for his people to be, you know, we're going to have to love our neighbor, whether they're nice to us or whether they're evil. Because, you know, Yahshua himself, he says, if you only love those people who are good to you, well, don't even the hypocrites do that, you know? I mean, so we gotta love people across the board. So, I mean, even in Israel, in the Middle East today, the country they call Israel, what they're doing with the negative vibes between the Palestinians and Israel, and then between the you know, Muslims and Jews and Christians and this whole thing, and like the whole, and other religions, the Hindus and the Muslims, I mean, all this religious war, if they would just practice I love my enemy, you know. You can recognize maybe someone as your enemy according to their understanding, but all that negative thing comes from people speaking negative word sound, which is like a leprosy. In that whole fight with bombs and stuff, as soon as you start shooting people with bombs and realizing that, okay, God gave me this machine gun and I'm going to take out these people, because I've heard people on all sides of the fence say all kinds of crazy stuff to me. And I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on the Most High side. He's not he wants people to do what's right, and wrongs do never. You could do 100 wrongs and try to balance that with 100 wrongs, but you can't. But one right move to love your neighbor, to love even like when Yahshua, who people call Jesus, when he was killed in Jerusalem, what did he say? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You know, if you could imagine being killed by people for no reason, and then just praying for their forgiveness. So there's no room for our hatred. And I think doing what, you know, that's what Moses is really trying to show us here. But really, yeah, the Almighty Father is teaching us. And that's what, you know, you're bringing out today. Even if we cannot hate anyone else. And that's why it says in the same chapter, do not hate your countrymen, but also to love the stranger. You know, to love, like, and Dunn, you really do it, you know. You're someone, and I'm not trying to praise your name, but you're really a unique character because you don't really let bound. You always look at the divine image in somebody, and I can truly say that, you know, you made me feel so comfortable when I came to your house, and even, you know, Ron, and you love all of us. You can just see you don't really look at these boundaries, but really, you're just practicing what you've been taught. Most people aren't practicing what they've been taught. People read the Bible, they don't get anything out of it. They don't even really want anything out of it. So really, we got the instruction manual, we just got to follow it. But if you don't follow it and you crash your car, don't blame it on the instruction manual.
I just want to mention that the idea is if I am only for myself, if no one's for me, I'm sorry, if I am only for myself, what am I? And if I'm not for myself, what am I? This is a teaching from Hillel Azalkin, which is, I love the teachings of Hillel the Elder, who actually, my wife's family are descendants from him. So that you're quoting from great, 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 great ancestors of ours. So, you know, that I'm sure he's very happy that 2,000 years later, after his passing on, that we're trying to implement his teachings, which is actually from Joseph Thomas, but from Perkin Elder, the essence of the fathers. Another beautiful point you put out is that to get to love our neighbor to love ourselves, beautiful. If we don't love ourselves, we don't love anyone. You know, we just, and with that as well, there's a teaching from Rashi, the foremost commentator on the written Torah, that the wrong that you imagine that the other person is thinking about you is actually because you have that wrong in yourself and you're projecting it on the other person. And embellishing that, the Rabbi Shimon said, when you have a good thought, not even speech, when you have a good thought about a person, you actually empower them because your good thought will reach to them. There's no boundary to thought. So even before we get to the faculty of speech, which is that actually a good thought has a healing force with it. Dennis, please chime in.
Yeah, well, humans need speech to communicate. And that's the way it's going to be. No, it's going to change it. However, personally, I believe people should have more discussion and less argument, because whenever arguments are escalated, it results in what we call human trouble. Human trouble can be many different forms, many different ways, and it usually encourages the devil in the end, no matter how it turns out. But there's nothing wrong with having a normal discussion, and that's one of the things we've been missing in America for 30, 40 years now, is that on TV or radio, we just don't hear normal, logical discussions. We have people who are pushing to cause an argument, wanting to trap somebody into something, and end up almost like a hate discussion, which is another form of argument. We can't argue and turn our arguments into discussions. We're in for trouble. There's no way around it.
True.
Ron, what is your take on all these matters?
I just wanted to point out that the devil is employed by God. He's an employee. He works for him. Okay? And God wants it that way. That's why he created him to begin with. Our job is to see the difference. And he gave us the instruction manual. Of course, we should look into it, try to understand it. And if we can't, we should try to acquire that understanding from those who do understand.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to resist the temptation. And the, one of the temptations in this case, would, in the form of being becoming angry and speaking bad about other people, is that we have to remember that everyone has the image of God in them. And maybe they've wandered away from it a little bit, maybe they've tarnished it a little bit, but what if, nevertheless, it's still there. And we have to always encourage artists to see it in themselves. We always have to speak good about them, no matter what they do. We have to always look for, sometimes it looks as if we're finding an excuse for the wrong other people did, but we're not finding an excuse. What we're trying to do is we're trying to empower the good part of them to come forward. And we can do that by our speech. A person does something wrong, instead of emphasizing on it, saying, maybe he made a mistake, maybe it wasn't his intention, maybe there was some other reason why he did it that we can't see. What we're doing is we're not really diminishing the bad action per se, but what we're doing is we're diminishing the effectiveness of that negativity that that person just perpetrated by adding our own positivity to overwhelm it, to overwhelm that negativity. And that's what we have to do. That's our job. Understand? So we see something negative happen, we have to look for the positive and accentuate that a million times over. We just diminish that negative that just happened. When we talk about it and dwell on it, and then we add ours to it, we just empowered it even all the more so. Understand? That's my take so far.
I just had a scripture I wanted to read, a short one here, in the book of Jacob, or in the modern English, they call it James. In the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, it's just a beautiful statement here. It says, basically, Elohim resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, that's, you know, chassid. His loving kindness covers the humble, even though everyone is guilty of some falling short. Submit yourself, therefore, to Elohim. Resist the devil. So that was kind of like what you just said, my brother. And then, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So there's purifying your heart would cease the double-mindedness. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of Yahweh, and he will shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the Torah and judges the Torah. But if thou judge the Torah, how you are not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? So speak not evil of one another, because as soon as we do that, we're breaking Torah. That's the whole thing. It's gone now. The whole discussion. Once we begin to speak evil against each other, and think how many people are doing that, you know, it's just sad. So these are the simplest things that are like it's like a key. Like what you're talking about, to speak not evil against someone, to control. These are the keys to, everlasting life, really.
You said the simplest things which are related to common sense, but there was a book written several years ago called The Gift of Common Sense. So basically, I think, friends, and I'd like to see if you could chime in after my comments, is that the restoration of the faculty of human speech, preceded by the restoration of public thoughts, by the restoration of meditation upon we all are embedded within our bodies and soul, a perfect design and a superior design called the divine image, to empower us to help not just ourselves, but help as many other people to, as you mentioned, Joseph, to get into the mode of turn up life mode. Stephen, your comments, questions, concerns on this. On what we're talking about.
Well, I was just thinking that speech, right speech, is essential to personal practice. You know, if my mother, I go back to my mother again, when people, you know, were very cruel to my mom, even people that she helped, my mother never used harsh words against them. She always allowed them, you know, to rip the fruit of their own evil. This is one practice she believed: whatever you do, you will, whatever you sow, you whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And the same thing, I have tried, it's so hard, but I've tried to put that on practice into my own life. I remember people have done me wrong, people have tried to help, and even after they've done me wrong, I still extended a hand to help. A particular individual who said to me, "How can you help me after what I've done to you?" And the response from me was, "Hey, you haven't done anything to me. You've done it to yourself," meaning that eventually you're going to pay for what you've done. So right speech means using communications as a way to further our understanding of ourselves and others, as a way to develop insight. We just don't speak evil about people and expect that because it's true, it is right. It's not right. And you know, and even I, and I'm sure all of us are guilty of not using right speech from time to time. You know, in our own humanness, we're all guilty of it. You know, it promotes violence, it promotes discrimination, it promotes hate. And a lot of people are just waiting for us to use just the wrong words or say just the wrong things, feed the hatred in them, to feed their desire for violence. And we have to be very careful what we say. I remember on Facebook, Don, I posted something about opportunity. It was something I wrote when I was a little girl in elementary school when I was walking to my mother's business and a man stopped me, and I was in elementary school and said, "Spell opportunity," and I wasn't sure if it had two P's, and I thought about it, and I said, "Well, I'm not sure," and he said to me, he was very arrogant, and he said to me, "You're in school, and you don't know how to spell opportunity," and I was embarrassed, and I ran to my mother and said, "Mother, mother, how do you spell opportunity?" And my mother looked at me as if she, too, were surprised I couldn't spell opportunity. And she smiled, and she slowly spelled every single letter to me. And I meditated on those letters, and I rushed back to meet the guy in the street to spell opportunity before him, boastfully, that is. But he was nowhere to be found. And I said, "Well, I guess I missed the opportunity." And with that particular post, someone used that post and posted on my blog something totally different to attack me. And another guy jumped in and said, "I hate men." I'm like, "Where did that come from?" You know, and it went on and on, and to the point that Yehuda had to say, it seemed like someone got their feelings hurt because of a joke that was made a long time ago on my blog. He found it somehow, and he came and he was attacking me. And it's one thing, in the silences of my soul, it's like, you know, I could hear, "Do not respond," you know, "Do not say anything," you know, and I listened to that inner voice, and I didn't attack that person. I didn't attack that person. And Don, this person attacked me, and I never responded. And now this person came and apologized to me and said, "I was wrong about you." But yeah, had I not listened to that inner voice, and had I done evil for evil, bad word for bad word, you know, this feud would have continued. You follow me? And then a lot of people would have just jumped on the bandwagon of just attacking each other. But because I listened to that inner voice and I didn't say a word, I silenced my lips. Now this person says, "I was wrong about you. I was really wrong about you, you know? And I want to love you." And you see, it's a matter of our choice words, you know, words that we choose and how we react to each other. Not because someone says something evil about you, that's not true, does not mean you have to react. There's an old saying that silence is the golden rule. If you feed the monster, what is going to happen? The monster is going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you starve the monster, it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So when people do evil things to you, what you smile. And like, I don't know this guy's name. He said he's from Jamaica, but he sounds like he's from New York. He said that some scripture he mentioned, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I think it's important for us to look at that in a sense. When people do bad things, we pray for them. We learn from the book of Job that Job prayed for his enemies and God blessed him, you know? And God turned his anger away from them because Job prayed for them. And obviously Job turned out to be the bigger person and the better person and someone we aspire to follow. not the others.
Well, friends, that's going to be putting a close. Thank you, Sivan, for those thought-provoking words. That this is going to conclude now the 54th edition of SOPAS. And I think, friends, that I think we still have 27 more commandments to go through. We're just scratching the top of the iceberg, you know, on the top of the mountain, so to speak. So I want to thank, first of all, Universal Music, but especially the genre reggae music artist Joseph Israel. Hopefully later in the spring we're going to see his smash new album CD spread across the nation. Kingdom Road, we have Black Liberal Flex activist, teacher, consultant Dennis Ryan, and we also have, thank you guys for coming on today, and Zahide, scholar, consultant, activist, and brother-in-arms Ron Williams, and poet laureate Steven Ariel. This is your humble Torah cyberspace from the neighborhood friends, just hold on for a minute. I want to tell you now a song by Eldad Levy, who lives in Israel, and this song is called "I Am Cutting Away the Forces of Evil with Songs and Prayers." Shalom, everyone, peace, and never goodbye. Lahamshik b'tiv, ahav echad, one love, b'rachad, one that's for all of us. B'ruch Hashem Yisburek, with blessing of Mosai. Remember, every one of us. I'm being very repetitive, but not that I'm being obsessive, but it to be hopefully a promoter of something we all possess and we should love and cherish for ourselves. That divine image, that Tyler Metal King, it's a perfect design. Let's access it through the healing powers of speech. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
You will. Thank you.